two village idiots with a love-hate relationship.
See, you got fat.
See, you still look like a 15-year-old girl, but not hot.
Who can't stop arguing over Oklahoma sports.
You know what, man? Why am I still talking to you?
Come on, we were doing good there, man.
It's the Just Okay Sports Podcast.
Sooner Nation, Thunder Nation, we are back. This is the Just Okay Sports Podcast. I'm one of your village idiots, Daryl. I'm here with my brother, Jared, and my good friend, Troy. Again, this is a Oklahoma sports podcast as well as just an okay sports podcast. That's why it's named as such. So if you like those kinds of things, please like, subscribe, and follow along and give us a five-star review. Jared, I've been worried about you. Can you confirm or deny that there are 8-foot to 10-foot beans that are trying to take over Florida? I know you're in Orlando, not Miami, but it's not that far away. Are you okay?
Yeah. Honestly, there's some that are probably 12 foot, even bigger. They're not as common up here, you know? But yeah, you see the alligators every now and then. So, I don't know, but they're not really trying to take over. They like the swampy areas. No, there's not aliens taking over freaking. Why is this a thing? Yeah, the aliens came to Earth, ran by the Miami Mall to grab their Jordans and a pair of Oakleys.
Dude, they've got a Space Jam game coming up pretty soon. They needed some Jordans if they're going to play in that game.
Yeah, they were going. They dropped by. Dwayne Wade was there. They were sucking all the talent that he has. Or
this is a terrible segment. This is a terrible segment. This is awful.
Because of him or me or both?
No, just like. All of it. The Space Jam, the alien thing. This is
he led us to the Space Jam thing.
You did lead us into this.
No, it was funny though. It was it was a weird thing. But what's funny is yesterday, this is what's hilarious. Nobody that I know from Oklahoma, so I actually had a tornado that was like apparently like a mile from my house. Of course, it was like a lot smaller and all that sort of stuff.
Was there any warning, by the way?
I never heard the sirens go off, but
have sirens?
Well, yeah, like hurricanes and all that sort of stuff. Mm. But yeah, like I had my phone, it was going off, and like one of my friends that lives down, like he's lived down here like basically his whole life, and he was like, dude, you all right? There's like a and I'm like, it's funny, like everybody that I know from Florida that like was like, are you okay? Is everything good? Like nobody from Oklahoma called. And I'm like, it's because we had that stuff like every day, bro. Like I was like sidestepping tornadoes, just like going to the store. You know what I mean? Like it's fine.
Whereas when the hurricanes come, all the Oklahoma people call you and all the Florida people are like, dude, like when are we hanging out?
yeah, exactly. I remember like when the last one hit, I'm like, everybody's like, dude, are you good? Like, is everything like, you know? And I'm like, bro, that thing was like, we barely got rain from that. Like, it's fine.
I love it. Troy, how are you, sir?
Nobody call me from the aliens because there's nobody from Mars. So anyway, go ahead, Troy.
Oh, not confirmed yet. They're out there. They're coming for us. They're just not confirmed yet.
Right, okay? Right.
Yeah.
No, everything's fine. Everything's fine. I shaved my beard because I had to get a mask fitted at a healthcare lab for my new job. I don't have to wear a mask, but I had to get fitted for one. So that's cool. That was
makes
fun.
Sense.
I don't like not having a beard. It's the weirdest thing, dude. Weirdest thing.
He's for those that are curious, he's going to be working on the space station. That's why he's getting fitted for masks and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
100%. But I am working out now and I cannot stand up or walk like a normal human being at the moment.
First leg day is the worst. First day back on legs is just...
I did it Monday, and then yesterday was fine, but today...
It's the 48-hour, man. 48-hour rule.
I tried to squat and the pot, and I was like, nope. Body just says no. I'm just going to do the standing up today.
Morning or evening workouts?
Afternoon. Afternoon. Like, right after this, I'm going to work out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. Yeah, I usually work out in like the evenings, and it's like, yeah, dude, it's like it's even worse because it like hits you like right at noon. So like, how many times like I've been like, it's like, oh man, I'm gonna go stand up to go get something for lunch, and that's pain in my body.
Yes, 100%. How are you, Daryl? How are things in your world?
Life's good. Been on the workout.
Moving on.
Been working out for a minute. I do have an elbow injury. That's all I can say. So I don't know. It hurts. That's about it. But life outside of that is really, really good. So yeah, loving life, chasing kids, doing the stuff. Speaking of chasing, there's lots of news to chase because we have not been on here in a minute, and there's been a lot that has gone down since last time we were together. So let's start with the OU news, shall we? Mr. Defensive Coordinator himself, Ted Roof, a.k.a. Steve Martin, apparently has mutually parted ways from the OU program and moved on. Jared, I'll start with you. A little bit surprised at the timing, or we've kind of talked about this is going to happen, so it didn't surprise. Where are you?
Yeah, I don't know. It was really weird because Roof came out like at the bowl game, I believe it was, and was like, yeah, I don't plan on like stopping. And, you know, it seemed like everything was fine. It kind of seemed like they would at least give him another year to ride it out or whatever. And then like the way they kind of split seemed like just like the rumblings you heard, like I said, obviously I don't have some source, but it felt like there was like a little bit of like not quite a clean break. You know what I mean? Like there was a little bit of animosity there. There was a little friction there, about it. So yeah, a little surprising. But it, like at the same time, it's like, it makes sense. You know, it's not shocking that the move was made, I guess is the way, yeah, I would say it. It was the timing though. So, yeah, it was not what I expected to see. So, but I mean, again, I think it's a good trajectory for
why now?
That is the question a little bit, right? Is timing wise, but my thought is like, I don't know for sure. And again, haven't talked to anyone in that building about it. My guess is they wanted to get through the bowl game and done. I think after said bowl game, apparently there have something in that time period of bowl prep and moving on. If you believe some of the insiders out there saying that BV really realizes that he can't be as hands-on as he has been with the defense and he needs to be a DC. And so he needed somebody that could do that. And I think the major part and component of that is recruiting. As much as BV loves it, his role is different now. He can't be on a plane chasing all the defensive recruits down everywhere. He's going to have to be kind of the CEO guy that when they have visits, everybody comes to him. And then when they need somebody to really swing and close on somebody they want, he needs to be able to go to that kid, right? And do that and not be the de facto defensive coordinator that's recruiting everybody. And I think all that just kind of hit, right? Of,
well,
having that conversation.
So does that mean he didn't trust Ted Roof to be the dude?
No, I just think it's Ted Roof's age and kids all over the place. I just don't think that
that's ageism.
You know what? Okay, fine. But look, I would say we've said this 1,000 times. I think it's the oh my gosh, why can I not remember? It's the Lincoln hire thing all over again.
You take that back right now.
Oh gosh, who is the dude he brought? Ruffin McNeil, right? He brought Ruffin in, and Ruffin's job was not to be on planes every week chasing kids down. He was too old, his health was bad, all the stuff. But he was there to help be that kind of sounding board for Lincoln. And I do think BV kind of followed that model a little bit of Roof's a guy I trust. He knows what I want to do. He's great with the technicality of linebackers. I can let him do that. I'll call the plays. I'll still be the main recruiter, but he can help me kind of, you know, do those things. And now he's going, look, I got to let go of the recruiting more and let somebody get out there more. And I even need to let go of the overall day-to-day coaching side where I can roam the field and see how things are going everywhere is what I think. I don't know that again. Well, I haven't talked to anybody in the building.
I mean, it's really when you look at the offensive side of the ball, like pretty much every coach on that side of the ball, it has some youth to them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you look at the defensive side of the ball, it's the face of that right now or what was Brent Venables and Ted Roof, which is not youth. So like I said, I think it's getting the younger look because BV's got a brand already. Like, you hear it from recruits, even recruits that like don't commit to OU or didn't commit to OU talk about BV highly, right? And so I think it's a little bit of he wants to get somebody young in there that he can build as a secondary or as the face of the defense, and brings that youth into it so that that really, like, even though recruiting has been very, very solid, obviously, though, you just signed one of the best classes that's ever signed. I mean, imagine if he can get somebody youthful that can be that, like, take it to that extra level where you have somebody that's more relatable to kids and all those things. And like I said, BV can take a step back. He's got his own personal things he's dealing with, you know, with his wife's health stuff and all that. I'm sure, like you said, he doesn't need to be having to be on a plane every week to try to get, you know, go land big recruits. And you know, I think that's Ted Roof's limit to what he could be as a brand was kind of reached.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair, yeah.
That's no knock, that, by the way, no knock on Ted Roof. It is what it is.
No, and by the way, for everybody that all the Twitter world, it's like, finally, okay, let's not ignore the progress that Danny Stutzman made and pretend like Ted Roof had zero role in that, or Kip Lewis, or, well, you know, any of those guys, you know. Now, granted, we all know he's not calling the defense. We all knew that. We all know that he's not the main DC, and we know he's not the main recruiter, but to pretend like he had no impact whatsoever is ridiculous.
Well, and you know, apparently the new guy is like BV light. He worked with BV a lot.
Yeah. And so let's talk about that. Nothing official from the university, right? But it is being reported everywhere locally. And as I was just telling you guys, I just listened to the one of the YouTube segments from Sooner Scoop, and they actually had one of the beat writers from Jacksonville State basically confirming that Zach Alley is going to be the defensive coordinator for the Oklahoma Sooners and make his way there. Pretty impressive. This is his second year as a DC, overall DC, and he will turn 30 at some point in the next month or two.
Did you say 30?
Yes. 30.
Okay.
So he started as a DC at like 28, 27 years old, which is pretty dang impressive. And again, based on everything I've read about him and tried to dig up on him, it seems like he is very, very, very respected across the plane of college football. Is everybody kind of keeping him in the peripheral vision of this guy is something we just need to let him kind of work his way through and get comfortable as a DC coach, etc. So, Troy, I know that you haven't done tons of research, but just overall, when you heard the name, found out where he was from, all that stuff, your thoughts on Zach Alley?
I immediately was like researching, like, who is this dude? Like, immediately. Right. That was my thought. Then it comes to light that BV is basically his mentor. Like, he talks like him, he coaches like him, he runs basically the same scheme as him. Like, he wants to pattern everything about him. Then I saw a quote that he had saying that, like, why wouldn't I do what he's done? He's been one of the most successful dudes in the business. And so I'm like, all right, another BV is not bad in my book.
No, I think that's good in the room for sure. Jared, how do you feel about the Zach Alley hire?
I mean, I like it. I mean, you know, it was funny. I was one of the first things I read was, like, obviously he was one of BV's, or BV was one of his biggest mentors, is really his mentor. And then was that he has to basically have somebody on the sideline that holds him back, like we used to see with BV back in the day, where they had literally a guy designated just to essentially keep him from running out on the field and tackling somebody himself. So yeah, I really like that. I really like his energy. And, you know, and again, he's worked at he was at Clemson. He's, you know, he's now at obviously at Jacksonville State. So never a bad thing to get your roots down in, like, the Florida, Georgia, like that Southeastern. You're going to the SEC and going to get some of those SEC area recruits out of high school, and just having ties to that area is not a bad thing to have. So I think it's a good hire. Like I said, just the injection of youth, another up and coming name that's could make a big impact.
And I'm I'm breaking all the rules, right, of not remembering the site, but there was an article somewhere about Zach Alley would actually go and, or not, was allowed by his coaches in high school to draft plays for their team when they won their state championship his senior year. So he actually was going in and drawing up schemes for his team to go into the state championship, and they ran multiple things that he came up with in high school to run plays. And apparently it was the same with him at Clemson with BV, was him helping BV draw up schemes when they won their two national titles while he was there as a student assistant, grad assistant. So it seems like the guy knows ball just a little bit. And my biggest thing was this. When I first heard, I thought, this is, why are we doing this? Then you found out the connections. And then my mind immediately went to this. I thought Miguel Chavis was a terrible hire. I was mad about the hire when BV came. I thought, dude, like, you have got, we've got a defensive ends coach right now that's cleaning house recruiting. Everybody wants this guy, and we're turning him loose so you can bring a grad assistant in as the actual defensive ends coach who's never coached a position in his life at OU. Like, really? And I was so scared about the Clemson cult and all stuff. Dude, Miguel Chavis has killed it. He has killed it recruiting. He is developing guys, like, all in. If this is a replica of that, sign me up. That's all I can say. Absolutely sign me up. So a couple little stats for you on Jacksonville State that I thought was interesting. His first year at Jacksonville State was actually still an FCS school. So they were still not in the bowl series of things. And they gave up 292 yards a game and 23 points a game. It's rounding up. It was like 22 point something, right? But essentially 23 points a game. 2023 was their first year as an FBS school. So they were moving up a whole ring of talent. They only gave up 18 points a game. They did give up more yards at 352.8, but they ranked nationally overall in the S&P Plus rankings as the 57th defense overall through the S&P analytics, which that's pretty impressive when you're jumping up a league to go into a more talented ring of stuff. And so, again, I think that that alone just tells you this guy knows how to coach, and you see the improvement with Jacksonville State. Now it's just going to be a matter of if the guys in the locker room will come to a place to respect him and want to follow him.
Yeah, I mean, it's – and like I said, I think it's I really think the biggest thing, and this is something that I've learned living down here, you know, it's, I've always known this, you know, you have Florida, Texas, and California are like the three hot states when it comes to finding high school talent. And so like him working at Jacksonville State, already being at Clemson, like having the deeper ties to that area.
Yeah.
Not to say Ted Roof didn't, but I'm sure having somebody like that, that's young and youthful and has the energy to, you know, really deepen those ties with everybody. Don't hate it.
No. And I think that was a big thing with Roof, right? His big connections were Georgia. He had a lot of connections in Georgia. And I think that was one of the reasons he was brought in, was to help build those bridges to those schools and all that. But yeah, this is a guy that's got even more farching, a bigger and farther reach in the Southeastern side when you're getting ready to go to the SEC. I think that's pretty big. So any concern, my last question on this, any concern, Troy, about a 29-year-old coming into a defensive room with a Todd Bates, Brandon Hall, who was a DC and a head coach, and kind of getting passed up by this 29-year-old phenom?
Yeah, if you're an immature prick, like, this is, they're professionals, yeah, right? This is their job. Like, how many times have you been passed up for somebody younger or somebody that you like, you thought you could do the job, yada, yada, yada. We've all been there. Yeah. It's like, but you have your feelings for a moment and then you act like a professional and do your job. Mm-hmm. So like, these are not 10-year-olds out here. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Jared, any worry about that at all for you?
No, not really. I mean, I think especially with the cult, the culture that, that BV's built, in the program now, like the way he's going, it's, I don't think you're going to have that toxic stuff that you may have seen under Lincoln or somebody like that. So I think it'll be fine. I think everybody will just do their job and want to produce. And like I said, BV's already showed with a number of people, even at OU, that do your job well, and you're going to land a job somewhere else if that's what you want. If you want to move up, plenty of ways for you to be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, there's also other changes coming to the staff. And I know it's not a name that a lot of people know, but Lee Davis, who has been the director of on-campus recruiting, also announced that she is stepping down. Now, again, this is something I think a lot of people would gloss over and be like, okay, on-campus recruiting, blah, 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 whatever. But you can't deny that since BV's been there, the recruiting's been at a high level. And now here's the thing that makes me kind of jump. It was kind of discussed in our Discord a little bit that we're a part of, that the understanding is that Lee Davis is about to be the assistant athletic director for UCF. And that is why she's stepping down. When you hire somebody to be an assistant athletic director, you've got somebody that has got something to them. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that this is a big fill because it's obvious that she was doing a lot and doing it at a high level for a school to go out and hire her as an assistant athletic director when literally she's only been the director of on-campus recruiting. That's not the biggest title in the building or anything like that. So for her to land a job like that, I think says a lot about what she's doing behind the scenes and what's going on there. And so I think that's a big loss. And unfortunately, it's another hire that BV's got to, you know, work with his staff on to make sure that they get and that they get right, because that's a massive part of what they need to do moving in the SEC is continue to recruit at a very, very high level.
Yeah. And, you know, Lee Davis, you know, you need to tour around Orlando, whatever, hit me up. it's really crazy. Honestly, I was surprised. You know, like I said, I went to a UCF game. I know some people now that are not like connected to the athletic department or whatever, but just somewhat involved, big fans, that sort of things, donors and all that. It's really crazy. UCF is actually like, it's like, for one, I think people forget how much like younger they are as an entire program.
Mm-hmm.
And really, honestly, like they've got a very big support base. So it'll be interesting to see if they get somebody like that that's just that talented and can really like deepen those roots.
Mm-hmm.
They could be something. They could really, really be that thing that's not just we had that 1 year in football. I think they honestly, like as an athletic department as a whole, they could do a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not even going to ask Troy about Lee Davis because I don't think he even knew that she was on staff until we just
talked. I didn't know she was on staff until it was on Twitter yesterday when she's like, she's leaving on campus recruiting. I'm like, all right.
Cool. Well, how about some portal additions, gentlemen? We got two adds to the OU roster. We have Michael Tarquin, who, just be honest, it's a little fun. He was at USC and he chose to leave USC to come to Oklahoma. I think there's some fun with that, right? Mm. So
my question is, him coming from USC, I think the biggest transition is, what is he gonna do when he actually has to pick up a weight? They're not just going to be doing yoga.
We that's a good point. Like, we crapped on their O-line all year, and now we're like, hey, we're celebrating one of their transfers?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like, come on, y'all.
Yeah. I don't know that he's going to be a huge contributor. Now, I can say this. If you go back a whole other year when he left Florida to go to USC, he was considered a very high flight transfer prospect. I mean, he was considered a big to-do in the transfer portal. To Jared's point, if you really believe that the Benny Wiley effect on the O-line is as big as it is, kind of makes sense that he took a big downward trend this year with USC coming out of it, now coming back. But is this a guy that's going to take over and help us dominate the SEC? I don't think so. But it's experience. It's good size, yada, yada. A guy that's played in the SEC, played his freshman year for Florida. So he knows that league and he knows what it's about. There's worse additions that, in my opinion.
I'm with you there. It's good to have, like, experience. Yeah. I mean, we need depth going into the SEC next year.
And at this point, man, give me every body that fits the measurables the right way, and let's hope we hit lightning in a bottle to get this offensive line up and running at the level it needs to for next year, right?
Yeah.
Another way that you can help your offensive line is good tight end play. And Jake Roberts leaves Baylor, comes to Oklahoma. He is an Oklahoma kid, and his younger brother is actually a 2025 tight end recruit as well. That's very highly sought after by OU as well.
I believe
well.
They play at Norman. They're both Norman or Norman North? I can't remember.
That's a good question. I forgot to remember to look at which Norman high school that they are out of. Or even Washington, maybe? Let me look it up. I got to look it up now before
I'm sure it's Norman. I'm pretty sure it's Norman, but I could be wrong. But yeah, either way, I don't know what the younger one is. I think he played at Norman is what I mean.
Washington. It is Washington. Yep. Okay. Washington High School is where Nate plays, the 2025 recruit. Look, this is a good one. A guy that's played, I would say based off the film that I've seen on Roberts, he's more athletic than Stogner was. I think Stogner loved OU and had good size, but I think we all can agree he never came back from that injury. He never got his athleticism back. And not that he was some kind of burner or unreal athlete, but he had enough to be competitive and it never just came back. Robert seems to have that. I think now the hope is that Davin Mitchell is everything that we believe he is coming in as a freshman. And you got to hope and pray that Caden Helms can finally get healthy. And if you can get those two things combined with Roberts, right, and some of these other guys they have in there, then we might actually have a tight end room for the first time in a while.
And Roberts has familiarity with Luttrell too, because he was at North Texas. So
yes,
yeah.
So there is the connection there. Troy, how do you feel about the tight end room with this addition? Does it make you feel any better at all, or just still like we got to make it one more year until we get somebody else in the room?
It's not game changer with Jake Roberts, but it's quality experience. There we go. Quality depth. We're just going to keep talking about quality depth.
Quality depth. Will that be the catchphrase yet again going into the SEC? Is quality depth? That would be
quality depth. I mean, I think Mitchell's
competitive depth.
Competitive depth. That's the word.
That was the word he used. Yeah,
we've got competitive depth, and I wouldn't be surprised if Jake Roberts starts this at the beginning of the year, and maybe Mitchell takes over.
I would have Mitchell as my starter at the beginning of the season from what I saw, dude.
I don't disagree with you, but like he's going to understand the level of play needed.
Yeah.
Especially blocking. Like Mitchell's going to be out there for the receiving. Jake Roberts can do it, but like Jake Roberts probably has a lot more understanding on the schemes of blocking than Mitchell does at this point.
Well, and you also have the Bauer Sharp kid too. I didn't mention him in that list of names that we got from, was it Louisiana Monroe or somewhere?
Yeah.
That came in as well. So, he'll be able to help with that also.
And I think with Luttrell, you see him do a lot more stuff where you're going to have two tight ends out on the field too. And a lot of these guys, I don't know about Robert specifically, but like even Mitchell, I could see, like you said, line up a tight end one play and then the next play he could kind of be in that wide out version of a tight end sort of play, you know what I mean? Like you can do a lot of things with him. So I think having a guy like Roberts is a good addition. I don't think he doesn't appear to be a guy that's going to light the world on fire, but very, very solid. You know, there's nothing, no knock on him. I think he's a very solid player. I think he's
honestly what this does is this gives us a year for Mitchell to learn while still getting reps.
Yeah.
And then the year after next, then it's just going to be Mitchell for 2 years, straight up 2 years. Like Mitchell's the dude.
Well, yeah. Hey, and we can't even talk about, like you said, honestly, having Jake Roberts on roster is going to probably help your chances with his little brother. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fact. And that dude can ball. So that'll be the deal. That's all we've really got on OU news and notes, as far as things that have been shaking around there. Again, I know some of that's been out for a while. Be interesting to see if they have a press conference and things for Allie and what that sounds like and looks like and how that comes about. But general college football is now over as we move on to the national title game. We got to talk about this one a little bit, right? Michigan, Washington. Look, I'm very curious to see what you guys say about this game, because I feel like I have a very different perspective than 99% of people on the game. So I'll start with Troy, because he's already making faces at the camera with his beautiful shaped face. What's your problem with the college football playoff final game, Troy? Because you just
look nothing. Disgusting. No. I have nothing problem with it. I just don't like Michigan. I don't like Jim Harbaugh. I don't like Michigan. I hate it. I hate that they won, but that's whatever. Good for them. They won the national championship. Good for you.
I gotcha. I understand. Yeah. Jared, how'd you feel about the game?
I mean, definitely didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. It was really funny to me, because it felt like ESPN was trying to do gymnastics to not be like, to not mention the controversy before or after the game of the season with the sign stealing and all that sort of stuff. What's funny, I'm with you, Troy. I don't really like Jim Harbaugh. And him after the game, some of the stuff that happened was just so cringe. Like, there was the part where they, like, he got his dad on the stage while they were handing out the trophy, and then his dad just started screaming at the top of his lungs into the mic. And I was like, and like, it was so bad, because like, they just literally, I think they just cut the feed, because it's like, bro, you're gonna be clipping that audio so bad. I don't know. I didn't really see it going the way that it did, but you know, like I said, honestly, they do have some dogs in the trenches.
I predicted before the game, I was like pulling for Washington so hard. I said, I went to a buddy's house to watch it, and I think I told him it was going to be 27-17 Michigan because of the trenches.
Look, yeah. here's the thing that's good for OU fans. If you want like a something to you know, give a little clap about, is an OU boy got a national title.
Which one?
Moore.
Oh, Sherrone Moore. Yeah. Yeah. I thought you meant player. I was like, they have a player from him? No. And I was like, oh, okay.
No. I mean, he's an up-and-coming star, so it's good to see him get it. It is. I agree with you, Troy. I don't really like Michigan. I don't really like Harbaugh. But it was funny. Now, can we just real quick, I know that Daryl's not going to care because he's an old and he doesn't like have a TV, listens to like the radio or whatever. There was a lot of rumors coming into the game. This is what's funny. I knew so many people that like I have a lot of friends that are like, they're big OU fans, right? And if an OU game's on, by God, they're going to watch it. Outside of that, they're not like one of like, you know, I'm a weird that like watches every game and all that. They were all watching it, and we were all watching it because we heard rumors that there was going to be an update on the EA Sports college football
game. Yeah. Oh, yeah. God.
I ruined
it. Yes. Freaking whoever started that rumor, I want to kill them.
Yeah. And of course there wasn't. And so now everybody's mad at EA. more than usual, I guess. So yeah, that kind of sucked. And it was like, I remember like I was in the Discord and I like said something at like after it came out of halftime, I was like, if it doesn't come out at halftime, I was like, I really don't think we're getting an update, guys. And they were like, people had like all these theories, and it was like people were just clinging on to like, please give us something. Like, everybody's so excited for that game. Everybody just wants something.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Well, here was the other thing that excited me, not to sidetrack off your video game discussion, but I thought this was interesting, because I think we can agree that the trenches of Michigan held up just fine against Alabama. I think we can agree on that. Matter of fact, at times were dominant against Alabama. Do you know how many recruits since 2021 on their defensive line class were inside the top 200?
Two.
Zero.
That's crazy.
We're in the 247 composite. The highest ranked guy they had was 203. Overall, 203. Now, he was a four-star, and they had multiple four-stars, but they did not make the top 200 in the composite for 247. And those boys balled out. Now, I didn't go back and do all the transfer history and all that stuff to see, but a lot of those guys were homegrown guys, developed in-house, etc.
Let I do want to say this, though, because I do agree with you. They did very well in the trenches against Alabama. I think Alabama was not nearly as good as what you would typically think an Alabama team was this year, for one.
Correct.
Now, Washington, this is what's kind of hilarious to me. Can we just talk about this real quick? As much as people in the Discord were talking about how Washington had many dudes, Washington has some dudes on that D-line.
Yeah. Yep.
There was a lot. There was a. I'm going to be honest. Again, as a third party, I was cheering for Washington. You know, I love the live mascot. Obviously, I own two of them. but they were getting their jerseys just ripped off the whole game. Like the Washington D-line. The Washington D-line was owning Michigan, but they just could not get a holding penalty to save their life.
Yeah, they were definitely letting them play in that game a lot. Out on the edges, at the corners, everything else. My other thing, too, about the game, look, at 6 minutes to go, it was a game. Like, it was a game. And I hate, too, now, like, it's like people, like, turned it on and looked at the box score and, like, oh, these teams should have played because Michigan just blew them out. They didn't just blow them out.
No, like, it was close the entire game.
I think we can all agree, like, here's the first 5 minutes, it looked like Michigan was going to dominate the game. And then 6 minutes to the end of the game, they kind of did dominate the game because of the turnovers and turning those into touchdowns, right? Like, but all in between there. And look, man, if Washington plays like they had all year, I don't know that they don't blow out Michigan. They missed so many. Oh, Penix was bad.
Penix played terrible.
But go ahead, Jared. Sorry.
As I say, he played terrible. He was under duress a lot more than he has been most of the season, too. I hate to say this, maybe we'll be like, oh, he's just saying, look, Washington lose because of the refs, but it was definitely like they had that really tic-tac. It was like the irony of Washington got a real tic-tac hold call.
Right.
On when it was like, if they make that play, if they don't call that penalty, like,
I did hate that. That holding call was brutal, but here's the other thing is, Michigan's D-line was abusing Washington's O-line.
Mm-hmm.
And so Penix didn't have time to throw all day. The key of the game was Michigan was able to get pressure on Penix without blitzing. Without blitzing. They rushed four most of the game. They look every once in a while they'll bring a blitzer, but they played different than their typical script. Michigan was a blitzing defense. They did not blitz most of the game. They blitz some to change things up. They'd look like it'd be a hard blitz and they'd come out of it, right? And they would still get pressure on Penix. That rushed Penix's internal clock more so than it has all year, because those throws to Adunze and guys like that, those were throws he's been making all year. He was frazzled by the pressure.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and he was just off, because there was even times like, I don't remember. It was late in the game. He steps up in a very clean pocket. There's no one really around him. And the drag guy comes across like 3 yards in front of his face with lots of space. Penix has just got to dump it to him. And he threw it like 6 feet over his head. And it was happened? And then the Adunze throw in the first half where he beats they get the corners confused. He's got to pump that ball to Adunze. And
there were two Adunze throws that like were touchdowns.
And I think really in the second half, I don't know, it was weird because he obviously seemed like he was a little bit injured. And that really seemed to affect, because if you notice, when I was watching it, it looked like he was throwing, like his throwing mechanic was way different than it has been all season. So I think he was favoring like maybe that oblique or something, because he kept grabbing his side or his ribs or something
were bothering him late.
Because it just felt like he was not able to just like sling it like he normally could, especially in the second half. But I actually enjoyed the game. I thought it was a really good game, honestly. Like you said, it was a weird one just because both defensive lines really did their job. Mm-hmm. And I really honestly like, can we just talk about real quick? The Harbaugh like answers to maybe this is as an OU fan and having like the whole Lincoln thing. His answers, did y'all listen to his post game interviews where like they kept asking him about,
I'm glad you're bringing this up. I have problems with Jim Harbaugh. More problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go for it, Jared. Tell him what he said.
So basically they kept asking him, you know, there's been rumors that you're going to NFL. And he's like, I'm just happy right now. I just want a future and that's it. And I'm like, I like the problem I have. Maybe this is Troy. I don't want to steal what Troy's going to say, but I'm going to guess it's the same as what I'm thinking. Because we're both smart, handsome dudes. either just say, like, to me, it's one of those things of like giving a non-answer like that is just it's a cop out. Like, if you want to come out and say, like, hey, I don't know what the future holds, and you know there has been interest, whatever. But like being like given these weird, like cheesy, well, I just want a future. It's like, what does that mean? Like, you want a future like running a Bass Pro Shop? What are you talking about? Like, just say I want to be a head coach at the University of Michigan, or you know, there has been some interest and I we'll see what happens. You know, but like giving the non-answer just seems like a cop out. I don't understand it. I think he's I feel like he's a dude that knows how to sound like a good person. And I don't think he's like the scummiest of the scum, but I also think he's a little bit of a scumbag, personally.
Yes,
maybe that's a controversial.
I didn't. Those weren't the comments I was talking about. The ones I was talking about, I think, is just I understand what he's doing, but just stop it, dude. McCarthy's not the best quarterback in Michigan history, and definitely not the best quarterback in college football history. Get out of here with that crap. I cannot. I can't handle that,
dude. Yeah. Him saying that, and I'm like, you mean, dude, by the way, this is what's crazy. ESPN was like, yeah, McCarthy will probably go in the first round. And I'm like, what did you watch of that game, of his career?
Thank you.
No.
That you've just been like, this dude can sling it.
Because here's the thing. Kuiper has him as the fifth best quarterback. If you watch that game, what did McCarthy do in third and five or more? Nothing. He never did anything. And in fact, his reads were freaking terrible. They were awful. Go back and watch the tape. Which throws he made on third and long, they were freaking terrible to throws. Terrible options, terrible decisions, terrible throws. Like, just period.
Here's
the deal. I don't care what the strength of your team is or isn't. I don't care what a defense is scheming up or isn't. But when you have a game on your schedule that it's not like just pure ice coming out of the sky for the entire game, and you throw a ball three times and you run the ball every other play, Penn State, by the way, is who we're talking about, you're not a top flight quarterback. You are not a first round quarterback.
They ran it 30 something times in a row against Penn State.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and literally they threw it less than 10 times in the game. They literally just – and, like, kudos to your O-line. Kudos to your running back. But, like, if you're going to try and tell me that what you believe you have is the greatest Michigan quarterback of all time and one of the greatest quarterbacks in college football history, there is no way on God's earth that you call 37 straight run plays. You don't do it, like, at all. I'm sorry.
Here's the crazy thing. Okay, so first of all, saying that he's a top whatever quarter, I like JJ McCarthy. Let me be clear. As a person, he seems like a good dude. I don't have any problems with him. So this isn't, you know, I don't want to seem like I'm attacking him personally. But like you said, what have you seen through him from him that makes you just be like, yeah, he's going to light the world on fire in the NFL? Nothing. Like, honestly, if you want to look at this Michigan team and be like, how did they get to the national title on offense?
Yes.
The trenches. That's it. Their offensive line should award. They should have.
Their defense was good. Their defense was really good.
Yeah,
really
but I'm on the offensive side of the ball, because, like, look, Corum, I don't think is an elite running back either. Like, I don't dislike him, but I don't think he's. I think there's way better running backs in the in college football than him. But behind that offensive line, it's like, how many times did I watch that game? And like I said, Washington has some dudes, but there were still times you would see an offensive lineman that was 15 yards downfield just absolutely pancaking a linebacker or a safety or whoever. And it's like, dude, those guys are nasty. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but again, yeah, it's just a weird thing. I mean, I think eventually, I think in 5 years or whatever, I think there'll be an asterisk next to it.
Yeah, There will be to people who don't like Michigan, but we're not in that era anymore. Like, we're not.
Let me be clear, because I didn't want to just touch on it real quick. We can move on. I understand the sign stealing thing. Sign stealing in itself is the dumbest thing to be mad about because everybody does that. Like, that's a point of thing. Like, that's something that happens in every level of football except the NFL because they have headsets, right? Right. But the thing that drove me up to the wall, like, the reason I understand the also the anger with people with Michigan is the level at which they did it, like, the on or the scouting of teams in person, for one, and then like having people in disguises and sending people that, you know, they were paying people that weren't a part of the program to go and watch and collect film in person and all those things. It's like the reach that's where, like, I look at Harbaugh and like people are like, well, Harbaugh didn't know. Harbaugh knew. You're not telling me that Harbaugh didn't know.
Yeah.
Right. So it's one of those things that I just don't, that's where I get a little riled up about it, is like, I understand that. I'm not mad about the sign stealing aspect. It's the like level at which you built this conspiracy to be able to do it at a level where you knew every play call or every sign before the game started.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I go back and forth about how I feel about it. I do agree with you. You know the rules, and you obviously went not just breaking the rules, but well above and beyond and outside the lines of the rules.
Other people aren't even talking about he had there was recruiting violations.
He was suspended twice this season.
Yeah, that's twice. Right. I mean, that again, that's the thing that I think that, like, ESPN painted him as like, oh, Jim Harbaugh's this homely guy and he's just so, and I'm like, dude, this guy was suspended twice. Like, any other coach, like, there's other coaches, I can name a whole list of people that if they weren't as quirky and weird as Jim Harbaugh, like, would be, well, like, is he losing institutional control? Should the NCAA just slam the hammer on him? And it's like, just because he's like, Jim Harbaugh's dad shows up to the game and is a freaking quirky old dude, we just have to let that go, you know? I don't know. Anyway.
Well, I was just glad the game was good. It was tight. I thought the semifinals were great. You know, again, this year more than any other, I think, excites fans about the 12-team playoff moving forward, because there were great games across the board. And listen, I think a full strength, even with a backup quarterback, FSU is competitive in this playoff in a semifinal. I think that there's a couple teams that you could name that you could have slotted into that four spot, three spot, and it still would have been really competitive. Now, it won't always be that way, but the years where we have teams like this, it is going to be so fun to have this 12-team playoff and watch it play out.
Did y'all see Desmond Howard's prediction for the playoffs before the year?
No.
I remember him, but I don't remember who he picked.
Not this year. That was last year.
This year, he picked Bama, Michigan, Texas, and Florida State.
Did he really?
Yeah. And he honestly should have nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kudos to him on that. That's impressive.
One thing for, because I know we're going to move off college football after this. The only other thing, like, if you want to make college football perfect to me, delay, like, the awards, like the Heisman and the Doak Walker, all those sorts, like the end of the overarching awards, whatever you want to call them, position awards, all that. So, like, either after the season or like now that you have a 12-team playoff later into the playoffs, I think that like would make college football so much better.
Yeah. I mean, I can't decide because I think there's some years where that's true. And I think there's other years where it's just going to be what it has been. And it's just literally, we look at the top four teams and who's the best quarterback on those four teams. And that's our Heisman. That's our Doak Walker, as opposed to who's legitimately the best freaking running back in the country. Who is legitimately the best? And sometimes you can be the best at the position and your team not be any good. I think there's possibility for that, you know? And so I go back and forth on that. I'm not sure what to think about it. But I know that's a lot of people are clamoring for that, but I don't know. Cause like I said, the Heisman anymore, you know, it's all about record.
It's one about thinking about picking the right person, but then it might prevent people from opting out. Like, you had Marvin Harrison Jr. that opted out, you know, and I don't know that it changes that much, but it's like, if it's like, okay, well, if I don't play this game, I don't win the Biletnikoff, maybe that's something I'd really like on my resume.
Yeah, you know? Maybe it might. I think the playoff will do that. Yes, Troy.
I know we keep saying one final thing about college football, but the AP poll, the final AP poll, was very funny to me. We're 15th in the final AP poll, right?
Fair.
In the coaches poll. Oklahoma State was 16th. We still finished ahead of Oklahoma State.
Dude, I will say, did y'all see the votes for like where they had like there's the like where they released the vote for all the AP voters?
No.
Or the rankings. Dude, there was one that I'm trying to remember. It was like he had Michigan 1. It was like Michigan, Bama, Georgia, Texas, Washington. It was like, dude, it was like, I don't even know. Like, it was the worst ranking I've seen of like, what were you, what crack pipe were you on when you made this vote? Like, this is wild to me.
Always. There's always something like that in there with some of them. So,
Can we move on to college basketball?
Oh, sure. I don't even have it on the flow, Troy, but you right ahead, sir. You just segue us right in there.
I Jay Billis is somebody that is one step towards Bill Walton crazy to me. Like, okay, can you guys run? You know, OU's having a very good college basketball season, right?
Yes, very good.
How many losses do we have?
One.
That is correct. Do you know where we are ranked in the polls?
9.
That is correct. 9. Jay Billis today came out with his top 68 teams in men's college basketball. Okay.
Okay.
The guru of college basketball, the Kirk Herbstreit of college basketball, whatever. Okay.
Not as much of a compliment these days, but go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't start throwing Kirk under the bus. Don't do that.
It's the dog. It's the dog. It's more. Yeah,
I don't care.
The dog doesn't bother me.
It's a shtick. Anywho, do you guess where he has OU ranked in his top 68?
3rd.
Okay. Like 26.
Close. 28. 28th best. Okay. Jay Billis, you are now on the you suck list. You're an idiot. Because we've whatever. All right. Like,
yeah. I mean, look, man, they're good. And the Iowa State team that they beat last week,
Houston.
They just beat Houston, who's a top 10 team in the country, top 5 team in the country.
Number 2.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they've beaten 2 opponents now that way. They played very tight with North Carolina, who's in the top 10 still currently. And honestly, if they do anything close to what they've done anywhere in the season, they win that game on the road, even though it was a neutral site. It was a road game. OU basketball, man, they're not bad.
Nice game tonight. Big game tonight. TCU.
Not bad. TCU. Hey, what's fun is that OU basketball is back in a legitimate tournament team the year that we plan a Vegas trip for March Madness. How great is that? Like, that is going to be so fun. By the way, can you guys remember the last time we were all together for a March Madness game?
Us?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the year you moved to Mass.
Yeah. Remember we went and sat at that.
We went and sat, and they were like,
Oklahoma, what? We're like, the game is on. Put Oklahoma on that TV right now. We sat
somebody,
at that.
Somebody has a picture of us standing in front of the national championship trophy, but I don't remember who has it.
Yeah, I've got it somewhere.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Because
I need you to find that and send it to me. But yeah, we had to sit in the airline seats for the Kentucky game.
Yep.
But yeah, it was a blast. No, it's this OU team is it's fun to watch. This is one of those teams that, like, I get it. Like, when you see some of the elite talent that, you know, the top teams have or whatever, it's like, I don't think OU necessarily has that, but it's like, this is also a team that no team wants to play.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a team that could beat anybody in the country on any weekend or any given day, but they don't have that like crazy superstar at every position either. Yeah.
If he sticks around one more year, McCollum is going to be one of the superstars of college basketball.
And do you know, I saw something, maybe it was on ESPN, ranking the top small forwards, in college basketball so far. And they had Owe. The number two small forward in college basketball this year so far.
Wow. He's been fantastic.
He's been he's athletic as heck.
Yes.
And OU's very, very high on a I think he's like the number, I can't remember his name right now, but there's a an OU basketball player that's a basketball
high school recruit.
That is like he's like the number 15. No, he's the number. He's like in the top 10 or something.
We're right there.
I forget his name. He's got a big name. All right, I got a question for y'all. Switching gears again. I'm totally going against whatever flow you got.
Oh yeah, you're totally wrecking the flow. There's no doubt. Gone.
Who y'all got? We talked. We had this question about 4 weeks ago or something like that. Who y'all got in the playoffs now in the NFL?
Like winning it?
Going to the Super Bowl. Because I said 3 or 4 weeks ago, I said the 49ers Bills, if y'all remember.
Mm-hmm.
Who do y'all have now?
Baltimore 49ers for me.
Oh, you just chalk it up. Is that what you put in the on the email?
Okay. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay, so have y'all seen, I didn't even realize this, one of my buddies pointed this out to me. What's the Miami coach's name? It just slipped my mind.
McDaniels.
Did y'all see whenever they, I think they played the Bills and he said something about how like they need to play together. It's like the, and he like somehow referenced like the terrorists of 9/11 or something weird. Cause he's such a oddball.
He's hilarious. No. I love that dude.
Yeah. He's a weird dude. But everybody's pointed out since he said that, like the Bills were 7-5 at the time or something like that. And now they're 5-0 since that point. Or maybe it was 6-0. It was like they, maybe it was 6-6 or something, but yeah, they are,
they're rolling.
I like the Bills are like, they're gotten hot at the right time. I probably honestly, Troy, I don't know that I think I might be 49ers Bills at this point. I mean, the Niners look legit, but it's really the, can we just talk real quick about how good this playoffs lining up to be? Like, is
I thought this past weekend was great because there was a chance that the Bills, if they don't win, they're not even in the playoffs and they're the two seed.
Yeah. There were so many weird things like that of like, you're one of the home playoff teams, but if you lose, you're out.
Yes.
Like, because of all the divisional stuff and how they do it, which was crazy. So there, lots of stuff going on.
It's crazy that you had a team that, even if they lost, they're a 10-win team and they're going to be sit, they could have been sit at home.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
they reseed after the first round, right?
Correct. Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. And so, and speaking of going to the playoffs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, ladies and gentlemen, and our boy Baker Mayfield headed to the playoffs yet again.
Yes.
Taking his second franchise into the playoffs, which, I mean, granted, the game he played on Sunday was not his most glorious game by any stretch of the means. But he did enough to get the W and to get him in.
I mean, the offense as a whole played pretty terribly. Like, even Mike Evans had some drops where you're like, you got to make that, buddy. But, I mean, Baker got another one. I mean,
I love this fact that he got to he won a division title before the Browns did.
Yes. Yeah. With their $330 million man. With all of his guarantee. They're going to the playoffs with Joe Flacco, ladies and gentlemen. With Joe Flacco. Because Deshaun Watson is MIA.
Because I know, like, Troy, you're obviously a Baker fan, but you're also a Chiefs fan, right?
Correct. Huge Chiefs fan.
Yeah. So, if it was the Chiefs versus the Bucks, you still cheering for the Chiefs?
Yeah, I have to. Like, it's team over player.
Okay, fair. But I just know like how much you have for Baker.
In that respect, like
are you gonna say that to Baker's face whenever he joins the pod when he comes?
Yeah, 100%. I tell him that. I don't have a problem with that. But like, yeah, it's team over player, even though he's like my favorite player of all time in football. I love that. I don't think he's gonna win. Well, what do you guys think? Like, how do you think that first round is going to go? Because they play
the Eagles.
The Eagles are reeling. They suck.
That's the thing. Like, you asked me just paper, like before season, hey, I'm telling you right now, Tampa Bay and Philadelphia is making the playoffs. They play each other. It's a 0% chance that Tampa Bay wins. With the way the Eagles have played this season, bro, I have no idea.
And it's like, in Tampa, which is hilarious.
Yes. And that's the other thing, too. Like, but I feel that way about the Bills. Like, they're hot right now, but they're also hot because Josh Allen isn't turning the football over six times a game. And when does that Josh Allen return? Because when it does, they're not going to win a playoff game. And that's kind of one of his things. When he's hot, it's when he's protecting the football. And when they're not, it's because he's fumbling everywhere and trying to do too much.
But he's typically always hot in the playoffs.
He's been good. He's been really good.
Here's what's funny, because what I was going to get to is, like, Troy's a Chiefs fan. So, and I have, like, a lot of people, like, a lot of people that I know that are big fans of some franchise or whatever. Like, I have friends that are Eagles fans and all that. And it always cracks me up because, like, they always have one franchise they hate because of theirs. Like, it's like OU with Texas, right? Like, right. Eagles fans hate Cowboys and vice versa or whatever, as an example. It's like, I really, what's funny to me is, like, when I look at the NFL, obviously, I don't really have a team. I would cheer for Tampa because I don't, because Baker's there, essentially. Now, I guess I live in Florida, so I have that. But it's like, I don't really hate any other franchise besides the Browns. And now I know so many people. Like, what's funny is I have a friend that's a giant Green Bay Packer fan, right? And we were talking about it, and he was like, dude, he's like, honestly, he's like, look, like, you know, you've got the Vikings and you've got the Bears. And he goes, and I really, like, want to beat them really bad. But he goes, I absolutely hate the Browns. Like, after what they did to Baker, he's like, I hate the Browns. I was like, well, and it's so funny because
the Baker,
like,
defenders hate them, and the haters of Deshaun Watson hate them. That's the thing. And then they've just sucked for so long. So you have all those factors going against the Browns.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you rewind, what, 3 years ago or whenever all that went down, before all that went down, everybody was cheering for the Browns. Like, everybody was like, the Brown fan base and the Browns franchise was the darlings of the NFL. And then now everybody's like, nah, like, y'all can, no.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild. I definitely give Baker a puncher's chance against the Eagles if he can play like he did like 2 weeks ago. And I think there was another game like 4 weeks ago where he was just straight dealing. They're going to need that. And that defense is going to have to show up in a huge way. I just can't tell what to make of the Eagles, man. It feels like they're a giant that's just sleeping, waiting to wake up. But I've been saying that all year, and they just haven't got there.
It is funny to me because, like, my friend here that's a giant Eagles fan, it's like, he's like, dude, we suck. And I'm like, bro, like, you're a 10-win team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you don't suck. I get it. Like, you're not playing to the level you were last year. But my deal is, though,
if you really watch them, they are so talented. I mean, when the season started, they should be the most talented team in the NFL.
Right.
Based on what they had in the draft and everything. And so they won 10, not 10. They probably won 7 of those 10 just because of the talent, not because they played well. It's just they're that talented that they won, as opposed to they won a good football game because they played really well. Like, the Eagles have not played well really all year long. They've just won because they have really good players that just, despite playing average, have pulled out a win, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but that's what I was just saying. Like, this playoff is, that's what it's like. I'm actually very intrigued by this playoff because you have so many teams. Like, you have the Ravens, who quietly have been one of the best teams in the NFL. Like, nobody, I feel like nobody's talked about them as much as they would other teams that have had their record and beat the teams they beat. You've got the Niners. You know, I mean, even the Cowboys look really, like, I mean, they're the Cowboys every now and then, but they've also looked really good when they've been on. It's the same thing. When they've been on, it's like, you can't look at that team and be like, they're not going to win it. And by the way, golf clap to CD. CD is a, dude, pay that man his money.
Yeah.
Dude, CD has been a beast this year.
Yeah, he's balling.
So, yeah, it's just like I said, it's lining up to be an amazing playoff.
I just can't wait till this weekend. I love wild card weekend. It's up there for me on, like, the first weekend of March Madness.
Yeah.
It is just so – it's so good. It's so fun, especially how much parity there is in the NFL.
Oh, 100%. The other thing that is going to be really fun to watch is going to be the NBA playoffs when they get here, because Thunder are going to be in it. I am convinced, unless just some kind of unreal. Four players go down injured. They're in. They
had
are
to say it. He had
in.
To say it.
Troy. Mr.
Why do you do that? Why do you do this? Why do you do, like...
Why do you try to ruin my flow every week, Troy?
Okay, this is different.
Wait, no. Can we just talk about how narcissistic it is that he's comparing ruining an entire fan, like the NBA season for an entire fan base to Troy ruining his flow. Those are equal. Those equate to the same thing. What
oh
a
my
bro.
Gosh.
That's, you don't understand what it was like growing up with this man, Troy.
Oh my gosh.
I can imagine him and I can imagine now. We've been very close for close to 20 years now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's getting up there. So
you, that means you've been close to him 20 years longer than me.
Yeah, so ridiculous. So Troy, funny. As the expert,
stop calling me the expert.
You are
a fan.
On this average podcast, you're the expert.
Fine.
There's the every week right now, right? As the trade deadline approaches, there's just more and more and more Siakam, I don't even remember the player for the Jazz that's supposedly on the market, and this guy and that, like. If you are Sam Presti, what would it take for you to pull the trigger on a big move in the trade market?
I mean, there's a lot that I would not. It would take a ton. I don't want to disrupt the chemistry. I don't want to disrupt the flow and everything. There's obvious weaknesses for the team. Mm. But here's the thing, and I'm going to stick by this. I've been saying this for a long time. You don't know what you don't know. And what I mean by that is this team, you can imagine what they need. You've seen the stats. We all know they're about the rebounding, yada, yada, yada. Maybe the backup point guard, whatever. But we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what this team is going to be like in the playoffs. The playoffs are a completely, completely different animal than the regular season. Mm-hmm. Completely different animal. So you evaluate your talent. If you've got top shelf talent like we have, right? We know we're going to the playoffs. We know we need this or we'll need that for the next year. We won't know that until we do the evaluation in the playoffs. If we win a round, cool. Why did we win the round? What could we have done better? If we lose the second round, we lose in the conference finals, we lose in the finals, whatever. I'm not saying we will. You make that evaluation and be like, all right, this is what we need to do. This is how we draft. This is how we approach free agencies and trades, mm-hmm. right? It would take darn near somebody giving away a player for me to take somebody right now. Outside of an injury, if like J-Dub was to go down, then yes, we got to go get somebody to keep the train moving in the right direction. But it would take a lot for me right now to go and make a trade. Now, there are some dudes that I think would fit the mold. I think that's what Presti does ultimately. I would love for them to go after Markkanen. It's not going to happen, right? Mm. I'd love for them to go after Siakam. It's not going to happen. Love for that to happen. I think I just saw something on Twitter earlier today. Brought it up with you, Daryl. Alex Caruso would be a fascinating addition to this team. Mm-hmm. helps them. Like what the team really does need, maybe somebody that doesn't disrupt the flow, but it needs a veteran presence in the locker room that's been through the trenches in the playoffs. Maybe you want to put them in the rotation, not like really mess with the starters that much.
Yeah,
cool. I think that would probably be the one thing that he does do at the trade deadline is bring in a Taj Gibson.
A veteran kind of guy
to come in and
be the Papa Bear in the locker room.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
That makes sense. Jared, how about you? What would it take for you to make a big trade with where this team is right now? Number two in the West, by the way, again. So you just keep bouncing back and forth between second and third.
Yeah, the top of the West is so – it's crazy tight. And really, in both conferences, that's what's crazy is where the NBA is now is both conferences are really strong at the top. Man, I don't know. I'm with Troy. I don't know that you want to disrupt it. We were talking about this the last couple of pods. It's so hard. They have such a good chemistry and they have such good depth that you know, I like we said, the thing I was saying, Troy, was SGA is your best player. Chet's your number two. However, when both of them are even off the court, it's not like Dagnold has coached this team well enough and has them playing hard enough that when they come off the floor, it's not like, okay, we're about to give up 10 points worth of lead or whatever because we're resting guys. Like they still play and they play hard and they play well. So I don't want to disrupt that. It's a very fragile thing to keep intact. But yeah, I don't know.
I'm with you. I have thoughts on the Thunder. Daryl, you answer your own question. Sorry.
I mean, for me, I don't.
You've always said make a trade. You've always been that voice.
Well, the only trade, I have not been that guy. What I have said is you have too many players whose contracts are right next to each other. So in other words, one of those guys needs to go before you get nothing for them. And for me, it still, even right now, is Giddy for me. Because I want to keep Chet, I want to keep J-Dub, and I want to keep Shea. And so look, you're on a run. If you're going to make a trade, trade Giddy and go get what you can for him, package some stuff up and make a move. But my deal is I either want a young guy that kind of comes in with this group that has that I want to prove myself in this league mentality that you do kind of take as a loner, but the talent is so good you can't pass up, which I don't think any of those guys are on the market right now as a trade. Or like you said, just a very good, like this is too much talent, too big of a comp, but like a Chris Paul was a couple years ago to this team. Granted, he was with the team the whole year, but somebody that comes in and is just the voice of this is what the playoffs are like. This is how you get through these scenarios. This is how you keep your head about you when everything's going against you in a playoff game. That kind of, like you were saying, a Papa Bear to be in that deal. I'm with you, Troy. The chemistry right now is too good to mess that up. And I only think the extremes of a really young guy trying to prove themselves won't mess up that chemistry, or a really old guy that just wants to make one last run at it and is willing to be a mentor to young guys won't mess that up. And I don't see anybody on the market right now that just totally, Caruso's probably the closest guy to that will really just come in and play hard and has been in the league a long time.
Y'all want some breaking news? Totally off subject.
Oh boy.
Looks like Pete Carroll's out in Seattle.
Whoa.
Oh, that's...
That's as shocking as the Mike Vrabel stuff.
Yeah, the Vrabel was nuts. I don't know what they were thinking there.
Well, Adam Schefter said
fired or he quit.
Pete Carroll is expected to be out as head coach. Personally, he could still remain in the organization, but not as the head coach.
That sounds like he may be just stepping away. Yeah, he's not the youngest guy.
He's like
he's not. But okay, back to the Thunder. That's crazy. Back to the Thunder. I thought Dagnall did some rotational stuff this past game against Washington. Their defense needs to step back up. It's lack of focus, lack of energy over the last few games. Because their December was grueling, and they came out smelling like the best team in the league at the end of December.
Mm-hmm.
What he's done, he is, for the most part, the rotation has been Chet comes out early. You know, Chet comes out early and is on the floor at the start of the second quarter with J-Dub, right? Giddy stays in for a little bit with Shea, and then Shea's the lone starter in there with the three-point shooters and the bench for the entirety of the first quarter. What he started doing is waiting on bringing Chet in at the start of the second and letting him and Shea work as a tandem and letting Giddy and J-Dub work as a tandem. And you know what that did? That made J-Dub, I don't know if they were on the court against Washington. They were. J-Dub played a few more minutes than Giddy. But what it did, they had both of them together when they played off of each other and they were in there together. They had the biggest, best plus minus on the team at plus 22 apiece.
Wow.
And it was an interesting dynamic when they're playing off of each other, because they can both create. I would have said from the beginning of the season, let Shay and J-Dub work off of each other and Giddy yes. work with Chet.
I agree.
And it's working opposite of that. It's Shay and Chet that are, you can't stop that tandem.
Right.
Literally. And I still feel bad for Giddy, man. Like, I agree with you now. Like, I've been not a Giddy hater at all. I've been as one of his biggest proponents. Like, but when he goes from the second best player last year to the yeah. allegations and the investigations that are going on right now, and you're the fourth, maybe fifth best player, it's going to take a toll mentally.
Yeah.
Now he's been a lot better over the last couple of weeks, yep. 2-3 weeks.
Yep.
But there again, like, I feel bad for him. I'm there's still a lot of different things that Dagnall can do with mm-hmm. the lineups. Is really interesting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And my last question on Thunder for this particular podcast, because we still got a lot of season to go. So far, I think we need to definitely revisit this at the All-Star. All-Star break's only, what, like 2-3 weeks away? Something like that? Either way, I think we would all agree to be the number two team in the West is a surprise. Like, because this isn't like 10 games in. Like, they have cemented themselves as one of the top three teams in the West right now. So that's a surprise. What player has been your biggest
surprise? I don't think they've cemented themselves, by the way. I don't think they've cemented themselves. Okay. They could have every team has a little bit of a lull. And I think they could still fall to the 5 or 6 seed, honestly.
Okay. So fair enough. But who's been your biggest surprise player as they've made this run where they have consistently been one of the top three teams in the West?
Jared, what do you say?
So I guess I will say, let me clarify, because y'all are both going to get your pitchforks. I want to say this. Chet.
Why would I get my pitchfork out of that?
No.
Just because I mean,
totally I understand
I
that.
I think we all thought he was going to be good, but the level that he's playing at is absurd. I mean, rookie of the year, if it was voted today, he would win by a large margin, I think.
He's not, by the way. Like, NBA, like, it might just be like the media doing their thing, but on the NBA.com rookie rankings and ESPN rankings this week, Wimby is number one over Chet.
Yeah, for playing for the Spurs, who are, yeah.
That means, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I would go. I would say Shed. Just he's just been played at a level that I thought. I thought he'd play at a high level, but like I said, he's cemented yeah. himself as a top player, which is crazy.
Agreed. Troy.
Daryl. I kind of tend to agree. Well. So there's a lot of different.
Do you want me to say mine? Do you still need to go ahead
because I'm still thinking about which direction I want to go with that question.
Now I know that this guy is not just making the difference to get there, but to have a player at this level for this team has been huge, and I think it's Cason Wallace. I don't agree that Chet is better than I anticipated him to be. I think that's not denying that at all. I didn't for a second think that we would get this level of Cason Wallace, not this far into the season. Like those first couple games, like, okay, yeah, rookie, he's fired up, yada, yada. We're almost the halfway point, and he continues to play at a very, very high level defensively, offensively. I mean, to have a guy that you can bring in right now. Like, let's just say that Shea and Giddy both get in massive foul trouble and you've got to bring Cason in to run the point and to do that. Like, that's not the greatest scenario ever, but the team's not falling off the face of the map because he's there. And I think that's a huge reason why this team has succeeded at such a high level, as he is that piece. He's a more talented Aaron Wiggins, if you will, for this team, in my opinion.
Yes, although Aaron Wiggins came in last night, two nights ago, and he was great. Dude.
He was balling.
He was great. So there's so many storylines for me. Like, I don't know which one's the most surprising. Like that, we all knew Shea was the timeline, right?
Yes.
But like, could he keep up what he's doing? He's actually being better than he was last year.
I had all questions were gone for me with Shea after last year.
That's wild. But like, honestly, to say, oh, Shea, you had one of the better seasons we've ever had as a Thunder player last year. and he's better this year.
Yeah.
In almost all respects.
Yeah.
That's wild to me. Chet, like, I agree with you, Jared. Chet, I've been saying for a while he was generational, and he's better than we thought. You're 100% right. Here's where I'm decided. Lou Dort shooting 41% behind the arc.
Ooh, there's a
pick. We're not a couple games in. We are literally a third of the way through, 34 games in. We're closing on halfway through with 40 plus percent of the season done. And he's still shooting. I know he went 0-3 the night before last, but 0-3, like not 0-8, 0-8 yeah. or 0-7 like he typically does. He's shooting 41%. 41% behind the arc. 40 guys, like to like how massive that is wild to me. He's shooting 4.5 a game. This is what he shot for OKC each year he's been here. 30%, 34%, 33%, 33%. He's at 41.
Yeah.
It's wild.
An interesting stat they were sharing the other day, I think it was on the Sports Animal maybe, like pregame, was almost all their main guys that they're willing to let shoot threes are up almost 8%. Almost yes. every single one of them in their shooting, which – finally, are we seeing the results of the Chip Engel?
Yes. It's hard to say. I think that combined with having a team with Chet in the lineup now, that's spacing. We've got shooters that are spacing the floor, and our offense is very good. It's a really fun offense, really fun to watch. That spacing is along with Chip Engel. Like, that's huge. Yeah. By the way, I do want to point something out about J-Dub, because J-Dub gets lost in all this.
Mm-hmm.
He's our third best player. Some would argue a second best player, yeah. right? He is so good. In the month of December, like, do you remember in October, November, he shot, I think, a 33% combined.
Yeah.
He shot in December, the month of December, which was 13 games, the most games we've had in the season so far.
And a tough schedule.
In a very tough schedule, he shot 50% behind the arc in December. And so far in the four games of January, he's shooting 75%.
Oh, my behind the arc. Lord.
Man. But, he has been so good this year. Asked a lot of different things. Bulk up. Guard the four.
Yep.
Run the point.
Yeah.
You know, play make. Get your own shot. Right?
Yeah.
Like, he's been asked a lot of, and he's so smart. He's so cerebral. J-Dub is somebody you put on a max, and I'm with you now, Daryl. You put those three on the max and you ride it.
Yeah.
You put those three on the max and you ride it forever.
Yeah. And obviously you go to him and go, hey, will you go 2% under, right? Or whatever. Like, you have that conversation, but those three guys, you do what you have to lock them up. You yes. have those yes. three and all those draft picks. You can facilitate a team that can make deep runs for a long, long time.
See, yes. I want to kind of round out maybe the Thunder talk. Of so many of my people, like so many of my friends that are not Thunder fans, that are like, I have a buddy that's a big Sixers fan and all that. Oh, the Thunder's still about two to three years away from being contenders. And I just want to wrap it out with some wise words from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We haven't even talked about this, but absolute bars from Shai Gilgeous. They must have thought it was sweat. We used to look at our schedules and prepare for defeat. Oh, they must have thought we were sheep, but then they looked under the disguise and looked at our teeth.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, if I just want SGA to win a championship just to see the bars the man drops. He's got a
career. Oh, that is true.
And what outfit he would wear. That's the other thing I want to know with Shai.
Are we wrapping this bad boy up?
We are. We okay. are. Yes. Yes. That's it.
My nerd flag's about to fly a little bit. Okay.
Oh, here we go.
I want to show both of you. Not really the world, just both of you. Should have done this afterwards, but I already said it. So whatever. Here we go. First of all, Echo came out last night, started watching it. It's very gritty, very daredevilish.
Nice.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yep. I get you.
Right, good. You guys had very blank looks. I'm going to move my camera a little bit. This is so ridiculous that I'm showing you this. That is a Lego Avengers Tower, 5,200 pieces. It is 3 feet tall. That was all I wanted for Christmas. That's what I got.
Yeah, those are. Yeah, I actually remember seeing the Lego. There's a Lego store at Disney Springs.
Yep.
Bro, okay. For one, apparently I'm poor, because like I saw parents buying people, like buying their kids. Like there was literally, it was like there was, they had three kids. I think the last time I was there,
it was wild.
Yeah,
and they were buying them like the Lego sets that are like $1,800 a pop.
It is wild.
Nope.
I was like, bro, no. Like I remember when I spent like, I have the Saturn V rocket. It was like, I think it was like 2,400 pieces or something like that. But it's like a big, it's probably 4 feet long or something like that. I don't remember. Yeah, that was like $500. And I was like, this is dumb that I'm spending $500 on Legos. Dude, Legos are stupid, bro. Yeah. What is going on?
I do want to
watch Echo, by the way, just to wrap up the entertainment talk. Reacher has been really good. I think the season ends. I think the season finale's like tomorrow night. And then by the way, Daryl, I already binged Captains of the World.
I haven't gotten all the way through it, but man.
I do remember I watched this last World Cup. This last World Cup was
legit.
Was insane. And I actually forgot how insane it was.
The only thing with Captains of the World is obviously so many languages. You're reading a lot. I mean, you're having to read, but dude, the stories are so good. And you just get, you know, you just get to peek in the window of what it's like to compete at that level at something every 4 years. And when you don't succeed, it, like, that's just kind of it. Like, you don't get a chance to regroup and fight for it again in 6 months, you know? I mean,
it's the thing of like, imagine if Tom Brady only had a chance every 4 years to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
As an example. You know what I mean? Like Lionel Messi, you look at Lionel Messi and he's one of the best players, but it's like he didn't have the World Cup trophy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there was a real chance he wasn't gonna have it. So
yeah.
That's really good. Real quick to give some negative, because everybody was talking about the show a couple weeks ago when I watched it. I'm going to spare you your time. The show called Fool Me Once was on Netflix.
Oh, I've seen it advertised. Yeah,
don't watch it. It's terrible. I'll tell you after the thing. It's the worst, dumbest show I've ever wasted my time.
That and The World Left Behind or whatever. Terrible.
Oh, the movie. Yeah, that was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, okay.
Hey, remember whatever. Remember that movie that they had Kevin Bacon in, and then like Kevin Bacon had like 5 minutes of screen time after showing him at the beginning of the movie? Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, that's all we've got today. We've all got to get back to work because it is time to do so. We are all on lunch breaks, but we are grateful you came along for the ride. If you enjoyed it, please like, subscribe, do all the things, give us a little love. We would appreciate it. We'll be back again soon enough. We're having a great time. We hope you are too. I'm Daryl. That's Jared. That's Troy. We will talk to you guys later.
Bye, Baker.
Cha-ching, it's under Moneyball.
You can unhitch the wagon. Put the ponies in the ball.